Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here are your hosts of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Holsinger, Dr. Payray, and Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Okay, and
Dadgummit,
welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast.
Welcome back. Episode 69.
We're on 71, but
71.
Dude, when was the last time we actually recorded?
That was back, I think it's a few months. No, a few weeks at least. I know it's been a few weeks.
At least November.
Whenever we did the first...
we recorded with Mike Picos. He's good.
And that was right before the DIA, I think.
Was DIA good? We need to do a whole episode on DIA.
We got to do the whole episode on DIA.
I'm sad I missed it.
So talk about... Let's do this.
Okay, let's introduce our
guest. We are introducing our guest. Our guest, I actually, you know that you said that I have a lot of questions in this whole regard.
That's why I thought I wouldn't want
to
sneak attack.
I am, to not surprise you, but I'm rebuilding my whole website.
Oh, okay.
From then, scratch.
Okay, well, let me bring in our guest then. And it'll be like, you can get like, it's like a tutorial.
Yeah, fantastic. No, I'd love to.
Anyways, yes, we've taken a bit of a hiatus, but we're back and we are committed.
So excited.
Spring is going to be good for us.
Yes.
We got some great guests lined up. We're going to talk a lot because we like talking a lot by ourselves. It should be fun.
Yeah.
And but tonight, special guest, actually, in full disclosure, I'm a client and so I was like, hey, I like this.
Nice.
We should bring him on and talk about what I like about it and what I don't like about it. Maybe we can improve.
I mean, that's for the authenticity. I mean, that's the whole thing, though.
Without further ado, Jeff Gladnick with Great Dental Websites. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, guys. I'm glad to be on. I talked to Sully about this a couple months ago, but
6 months ago, I think.
Yeah. You've had a busy life in the meantime. I think you just had a new baby.
I did.
I know exactly how that goes. And that was your first or second?
My first, 7 weeks old right now.
Woo. Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know if you had the same experience as me, but like I just totally like underestimated it. And 100%. I was like, this is bad. Like, you know, this is like, it'll be like maybe another half hour a day. Like,
yeah. I mean, I thought if you had a dog, you were basically 3/4 of the way there.
Yeah, at least half.
Not the case.
It's not.
But I love him. He's great. It's good. Have kids. It's awesome. Just make sure you understand it's going to be a little bit of work.
I mean, if you want to
grow,
if you want to raise them right. And
so the second thing, when you have your second one, is you figure there's got to be some economies of scale here. There's not.
It's unfortunate. At least we bought half the stuff. Okay, so let's get into this. You know, one thing we like, Jeff, we're super laid back. We don't really have agendas. We kind of just roll with punches. You know, my thing is, obviously, the website is a super critical component to the practice of this day and age. And the problem, and I'll come out and say it right away, you know, I think the hard part for us as dentists is actually understanding where...
It's good beer.
It is good beer.
Wow.
For my patients.
Wow.
Where things like SEO, you know, what's the difference? How big of a difference is a good dental website and a bad dental website? You know,
there's just so much, so
and
many
picking
things.
Somebody. There's 100 people out there.
Oh my God. Talk about the whole, I mean, think about online presence. So you're so out there, right? But people, the way that they perceive you might be different than the way that you actually are.
And most people find you, they say how you find you. Most of them say Google. So then Google. You assume, okay, well,
so
that means they found
I
a website.
I think, but honestly, right now, websites, especially dental websites, are some of the most critical things that dentists need to put so much more emphasis on, how to create that online presence. No matter how big they are, famous they are, popular they are, kind they are, I mean, everything. If you cannot present it to people out there in a few minutes, because that's all it takes, you're not going to get much chance. So that's why I love this episode, because I think there's so much stuff that needs to be said about having a great website.
A great dental website.
A great dental website.
So Jeff, why don't we do this? Why don't you tell us a little about yourself, how you got into this, into dentistry, frankly, or other websites, and just kind of give us a little bit of background, and we'll just chime in.
Yeah, no problem. So I got into this gig about 12 years ago. My background was in software.
So you're not a millennial, just computing. To clarify.
I actually am. I'm you're right close? On the border.
Were you 82?
Yeah, I was born in 82. I'm an 81.
We'll claim you though.
So I'm the gray area where, you know, it's debated, I guess, whether I am or not. So it's, you know, I can use that conveniently. I guess for this audience, I'll be a millennial and play to the crowd a bit. But about 12 years ago, my dad, who's a dentist, wanted a new website, and I'd made him one when I was in college, and he wanted a new one. I didn't have time. I was working at a startup in San Francisco doing software, and I tried to help him find a deal, and everything was really expensive and not well thought out. It was just a combination of the worst of both worlds. And so I, you know, just out of guilt, he had put me through college. I figured I would just suck it up and get it done over nights and weekends. And there are 8 dentists in my family. And so this word of the free website deal quickly spread. And I had one uncle who had like lent me money for another company that I tried to create in college that went south. So I had to help him. And then Uncle Dan felt left out, so we had to help Uncle Dan, and Aunt Judy and Uncle Kevin got in on the gig. Before you know, I'm like, yeah, I'm committed to like 5 dental websites here. And so I decided I would build software for managing multiple dental websites at once. This was my day job, building content management systems for Fortune 500s. So I was like, how hard could a dentist website be? It's take like 6 months. This is 12 years ago. So you see where this is going. And once it went live, they started referring like friends here and there, and it became a side job to the point where at one point I did the numbers and it was paying about half my salary. And I was getting calls during engineering meetings at work that I couldn't take. And I was like, God, I feel like business is getting away. I've been an entrepreneur my whole life and just not very successful until this company. And I decided to just jump in and do it. And my wife got pregnant the same month I quit my job, which is always good timing.
Classic.
No more benefits. Yeah. Classic move. Good planning there. So we moved to Denver, which we were already thinking about moving out of San Francisco anyway. It was just too expensive. And we started hiring people, and we've about 50 staff now today. 3 nice. Down in the Australian office.
And oh wow, you got Australia.
Yeah, Australia is it's about like 30% of all of our new business comes out.
Wow.
Of Australia.
Do you know something about the Australia? There's a website. I don't know if you know, Soli. It's called Envato. And now Envato has social media, like it's a free market, like freelancers and a lot of like talent people. So they get on Envato. It's got like
Fiverr.
It's not like Fiverr. It's more like digital media marketing. Like, you know what I'm talking about, Jeff?
Like Upwork?
No, it's not Upwork. It's like Envato.
It's like Envato.
Okay. So Envato is like, okay. So you go in Envato and they have so much PowerPoints and websites, templates and everything. And you buy them for like $50 or $60 for the template.
Yeah.
And then they have the HTML code, WordPress document templates. So if you pay a monthly fee, for example, like a subscription, you can get like so much content from freelancers around the world that give free stuff, and you just get them. Like, for example, I'll have a PowerPoint next week. Right. Yeah. And I'll just get on. I'm like, shoot, I don't have any templates. So I get on there and I'm like, I want to talk about photography. So I type in photography templates for PowerPoint. Boom. It shows me so many different ones and I can pick from, and I download and I just put drag and drop my photos in there. It's called Envato and it's from Australia. So whenever you say Australia, I'm like, man, that company, and it's getting big because if you get on there,
So let's run with that, because that kind of works us into here. So one question I have is, when people look at their websites, when dentists look at their websites, how big of an impact does a stock template have versus a custom type website? Like, is it bad to have custom stock build. Stuff, a custom build,
sure.
or like how does Google
Great question.
Like
Great
deal
good.
With that?
Mm-hmm.
Google doesn't care about
okay, good stock to know. Templates.
But the content is a factor, and you can kind of think about this. They're trying to answer a question, and you know the question is what you type in the search query. So if your answer to the question is the same as 8,000 other dentists' answers, like you just have the exact same copy for why is Zoom teeth whitening important, or what's cool about, or why is Invisalign different from traditional orthodontics? If you have the exact same answer, well, why should they pick you? They have 7,999 other choices. So why are you special? You can get around that a little bit by kind of tuning the metadata, like the title of the page that you define.
But
at the end of the day, your content's exactly the same. So we typically, for clients who are serious about ranking their websites and they're in any kind of competitive market, we'll tell them you got to have custom content, whether you write it or we do. It's got to be unique.
So,
but the design doesn't matter.
How hard is it then for someone, because I'm a little, it's hard for me to some degree to relate, because I'm very fortunate, because I came into a situation where we already ranked pretty good, because we had been established, we had a good website, it was long standing. How quickly can a new website that has good custom content like that start to move up the ranks in an established area?
That's a really good question.
One thing I'm also going to add to it now, it is the domain name too. Like for example,
that was huge because we had Tennessee Dentist since like 93 or something like that.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of factors that go into this, and if you have some things going for you, it can be a lot quicker. And yeah, if you have a really old domain, you say it was 93.
It was like 93 or 90.
Wow, that's back to like
TennesseeDentist.com.
Wow,
that's a good domain name.
That's a great domain name.
I remember I met this guy.
When do we get? Why are you still here? You need to go home.
This is his moment of glory.
When do we get that domain name?
Back
96. That is
okay.
So sick.
That is really early. Yeah,
I'm going live.
I mean, that's right around the time you could start purchasing.
That's actually
before, when
you could buy a domain.
That was actually domain started.
Nobody sneaks in here when we start talking about that.
He absolutely greased the wheels for you guys.
He did.
The age of the domain matters. So if you have an old domain name, it can go quicker. It usually takes 3 to 6 months, and sometimes more, depending on how competitive it is. It's a matter of how much time you're spending, because the work that goes into SEO is building up links that are pointing back to your website. You guys don't have like a guest headphone?
I don't think you can add one once you're in. Oh, you can. Nope.
Can you add him?
Are you really gonna? Are you in or you out? You need to know.
I'm just
okay. Just hang
out. Get a beer and sit down.
Yeah. Get a beer. Wait. So you got connected with him before Soli started, or you got
Sully, no?
I heard the Howard Frandt podcast.
Oh, nice.
We've gotten so many clients from Dentaltown. It's funny because whenever we talk to competitors, they're absolutely afraid of the townies, and we're like, why? We love them. It's like 80% of our customers. But it's definitely a rough go on Dentaltown, at least at first. I think in the first week, I was accused of being a fraud and a scammer and con artist. Like all in the first week, all by competitors, and that happened again like a couple times, and like. Then we won the awards. That was good.
Now it's that whole thing switching to Facebook to some degree too, which is like what was that then? It's getting kind of interesting.
Everybody's going to Facebook, and I hate it. A couple reasons. One is as a marketer, like what we tried to do on Dentaltown, what we try to do in forums that we participate in, is show up and be useful and hope that when somebody needs a website. So remember that person answered a lot of questions, didn't try to like hard sell them on anything, and were useful and smart, and so maybe they'll call us. That's our strategy. And with Facebook though, like there's no real like searching or like archives that are effective. It's just like this, you gotta be tuned in every damn day. And I'm already trying to spend less time on Facebook.
Yeah.
And then you get sucked into somebody's like stupid political debate.
I gave up on Facebook long time ago because Instagram came just with the pictures. I'm like, okay, all I want to show is my case and that's it. I don't want to talk politics. I don't want to talk anything. So Instagram picked up, but then Facebook is so hard to keep up because everybody talks different things.
Well, the groups are just, I mean, I don't know how they do it. The people that run these groups.
There's so many groups. And there's more being added all the time. And it's Dentaltown, I know that people had some, complaints about Dentaltown. I still like that system better overall.
Well, like you said, it had one kind of centralized thing that then had a breakdown of categories that kind of made sense, where if you had a marketing question, you go to marketing, or, you know, if you had a clinical question.
Yeah, it's categorized. Yeah. I mean, everything is like principles, like categories. Now, here's the thing. What I like to do is to break this down. Instead of talking about this whole online presence and making it such a big deal, why don't we talk about making things simple? For example, if there's a website, there are certain principles that that website need to have. What are those principles? For example, great like question. What are these things that people need to have on their website? I'm a young dentist trying to build a new website. I need to know what are the things I need to have, must have, before I open my and turn out my website on.
Fair enough. So if you want to rely on your website as a strategy for acquiring new patients, because some people don't, they just check a That's box, a they have a website, and they can point people to it if they want contact hours, and they're relying on, you know, insurance referrals. They've gone all in with insurance or Medicaid or some state program. And in some rural places, that's a totally effective business model. And some non-rural places too. But if you want your website to be, you know, part of the pie that creates new patients for you on an ongoing basis, it has to adhere to standards and those are largely defined by Google. It has to have, and I'm going to get bore little people with some technical terms, but just write them down and just ask, you know, the web developer or whoever you're talking to, especially for you, if you're looking to rebuild your site, you know, it should have schema.org validated.
That's what I'm writing. I'm actually asking questions because I want to make sure I have practice.
So what's number one?
So, well, I mean, there should be unique content. I think that's number one. You want to have individual landing pages for every single service. So if you're a web developer saying like, oh, we can save money and put all the services on one page, the follow-up question should be, well, how are you going to optimize that for Google? So you can only tune a page to really be about one thing. And for landing pages for services, it has to be about teeth whitening in Nashville. You can't make it about teeth whitening and root canals and Invisalign. Google doesn't know what it's about. You have this page that has an identity crisis. So you have to have a good architecture. So all the services and procedures that people might search for, you want to have a page that has content about those. You want to have video. This is something Sully did a freaking excellent job on.
Boom, video content. That was my question.
Yeah, but isn't video make the website slower on mobile app? Like, that's one thing I keep getting from the website developers.
Yeah, a little bit. There's a little bit of overhead to load the player, but that loads what we would say asynchronously. So after the thing loads, it loads the player and it's ready. So there's a little bit of wait on that, but it doesn't load the whole video until you press play. I mean, back in the old days, it would like load the whole video on this like Java thing, but that's long gone. If you're embedding something on YouTube or Vimeo, you're not going to have that problem. You'll pay a small tax. You know, if you have like 20 videos on the page, yeah, that's going to get weighty because it's 20 of those JavaScript players being loaded. But the benefits far outweigh the gains. And I told my dad about this when he was very reluctant. My dad has been beta tested for every piece of advice, even the bad ones, especially the bad ones, that we've kind of pushed onto our clients. And he didn't want to record video. He's like, nobody wants to watch me talk on the internet. And technically he was right. He got like 1,000 views. You know, there's like, you know, 8 billion people. So barely anybody wanted to watch him. But how many of those 1,000 people that watch these videos do you need to convert? You know, 5% is 50 new patients. And a lot of these videos are just like 1 minute or less of him just explaining to the camera what Invisalign is or what veneers are, or a patient explaining what a wonderful experience they had, which doesn't have to be professionally done. You can shoot that on your iPhone. We'd rather have that look authentic than like really well produced anyway. So you need review strategy. And I would recommend one of the automated programs. We like Social Review Wizard. BirdEye is popular. Podium is popular. I think both of those come with contracts, which is why I'm not that hot on them, but they both are work. Our clients use them. Yappy comes with that. Opera DDS has something. All those companies, I think, are reputable and will do the job that you buy.
Pretty much your main thing is like make sure to have reviews. That's the biggest thing, huh?
I think that's one of the most cost-effective, easiest things to do. That's not the biggest factor, but it's one of the biggest bang for your buck items that a dentist can check off, especially if you get those automated programs. Social Reviewer is like $150 and like, I don't know what BirdEye.
I got one for like
200, 300.
I got one for Reputation Stacker for $100 a month. And then the problem with that is that there's no customer service or none of that. So you have to program it yourself, like what do you want to get and send. So it's kind of tough. So it takes a lot of time to kind of try to test it and make sure it
works. We've used Best Local Reviews with they just turned lights on us. Dad, those were our lights.
Dad, we're in the basement.
Dad, that's the true millennial way right there.
pay your bills.
That's good.
Pay your bills, son. But yeah.
Okay, so we got the principle. So you need to have, like you said, you got to be unique. You don't want to put everything, because there's so many dentists posting the same thing, whitening, Invisalign. So you want to make sure that unique landing pages with different sources that you can track to make sure what works and what does not.
Yeah. So tracking, you really got to, at minimum, I'd rather see like call tracking numbers per service.
Where do you like to get these call tracking? Because there's so many companies doing these now.
Your company, the marketing company may have a vendor. We sell them. We pretty much give them away with marketing services. We sell them pretty cheap if you want to buy one ad hoc. But CallRail is a pretty consumer friendly portal for this, and I think they'll give you like 10 for like 15 or $30 a month plus the minutes, which we'll use. But
that's what I have. I have CallRail because they're cheap as far as what they do for the money that you pay them.
There's a couple of different software products, and we have one that we'll probably be trying to install in your system soon, Sully, because we built software that tapped into the PMS systems and matched it up with call tracking. So if Jeff Gladnick calls your office and schedules an appointment, then we record the call. We see on the name, caller ID, Jeff Gladnick. We have the phone number for my cell phone. And then later when I show up to your appointment, that comes through, Jeff Gladnick. There's my cell phone, and you go, aha, that's the same guy. They call the tracking number, attribute that revenue to SEO so we can justify our existence. And that's kind of where all this is going. This is already a standard in e-commerce and other industries. I thought last time I was at ADOM, I saw a couple booths that seemed to be selling similar software to that. So I think this will be widely available in the next couple of years.
My thing is
probably next one or two.
I mean, if the reality is, I don't think dentists are as cheap as sometimes we're made out to be. I think if you can start to see that ROI come back, then people would dump. I mean, gosh, I mean that's what I tell. I told we've been doing some commercials. I'm like, look, if we can start attributing that money to this. I mean, I'll go all in, but I was like,
oh, you want me to tell you how you can do that yourself?
Yeah, tell me how I can do it.
So what you want to do with commercials, we had a client in Louisiana that was running every single mass media possible, every TV station, every radio, every TV, every print possible. They had like 16 different channels and like tens of thousands of dollars being
counted. Is this Danny? Danny Domain?
Danny, who was that?
It was not Dr. Deming. He is a client of ours.
It was Danny.
Although if it was, I probably shouldn't admit it, but it wasn't him. He's a nice guy though.
He's a great guy.
But this client is actually no longer with us. They sold the practice, but we ran different call tracking numbers on every TV station, and we ran different domain names. And that's one thing that most people fail to do. Because most people don't just see an ad for a dentist and go, oh, hell, I'll pick up a phone and schedule an appointment right now. I'm sold. No,
right.
They want to do a little research. And now if they Google you, well, that's going to get misattributed to SEO. And it's hard. It's really, attribution is a huge challenge in marketing. And it's never going to get 100%. But
sure,
this will chop away at that. So what you do is you show them a different domain name. So if your website is, Sully Dentistry or Tennessee Dentist, then we'll make it Tennessee Smiles. Or Sully Grins or something. And so we have 15 different variations. And the report that came back was just mind-boggling. Two of the TV stations were about the same. They generated like 42 and like 45 patients. And the other one was like 12. Guess which one is getting cut next week or renegotiated?
Wow. Yeah.
And like, same thing with like the rate. And there was a large percentage, I think it was like 20%, that they came in exclusively through contact forms. So those domain names were catching a fair chunk of that data. And same thing with the print, like he had every like church bulletin He had like he was doing everything, and he cut out like 40% of it and renegotiated another 20 after we gave him that data.
So instead of doing like just like we do call tracking where we have different numbers, we should have we could pick up other domain names, do it that way.
Yeah, and you just got to ask your web people to do it. But it's really easy. You just forward the fake domain name to your real one.
Yeah.
And there's a way you can do it to append like a tracking number. So the real site
Picks that up.
So the tracking number, voila.
Let's talk to Alex tomorrow. Make sure that we have a new domain name for our TV commercial.
Yeah,
and that's really important though, because I mean, you see what he's saying right now at this moment. I can guarantee you, there are so many website guys out there, so many website companies that don't tell you these, and they're like, "Oh my God, it's going to be so hard to do this. Oh, that's not possible." Oh, this and that. And they make so many excuses. But look, this day and age, what he just said, it is truly happening. You could you can track these things. Like, talk about how much money that guy's spending in Louisiana or whatever it is on all this money. It's not fair for him not to know where is this money going.
Oh, yeah.
And if your website company not giving you those information, you better ask around and get more people, because there are ways that you can find out. Like you said.
Okay. One question I wanted to ask you, Jeff, is, what's the average time most people spend on websites? And do they, is it important to have a lot of really valuable information on your homepage? Like, are they getting to other pages?
Oh, that's a good one.
Or how do you kind of work through that?
Oh, I mean, there's it's usually measured in minutes for patients. Like, they don't always end up on your homepage. Like, everybody kind of expects them, they'll land on the homepage, and then they'll learn about me,
they don't.
And then they'll click on the service they want, and then they'll read a review or a
before that's what I think.
Then they'll be so impressed by my work that they'll be compelled to call, and they'll go to the contact page. But that's not the way we watch traffic go through the sites. I mean, it does happen sometimes, but people will type in random things into Google and end up all over your site. And so that you want to have on those landing pages, you want to have related content. So if you're showing a landing page about Invisalign, you want to have a before and after case about Invisalign. You want to have a video testimony about Invisalign. Ideally, we want the doctor on there talking about Invisalign, just so they can click into something else that may be of interest to them. They don't have to like go back to the homepage and choose their own adventure and get distracted. The about page is usually the second most popular page, though. So you got to have pictures. I think it was Clear, the membership company like insurance replacement. I'm not sure what that. I apologize to them if I'm not putting them in the right bucket. But I think they did a study on that. Like, the biggest needle that moved their signups was bio pictures in the bios, which doesn't shock me. They didn't do it on video, but I bet video would move it even further. But yeah, it's usually measured in minutes. A bounce rate, which means people coming and leaving immediately, around half, is not unusual. There's a lot of people that just, first reaction, and they just leave. And who knows what the hell they're thinking. Or they click the wrong thing. So don't get discouraged by that. But it's usually measured in minutes, single-digit minutes.
Wow. Okay, so I like the video. Obviously, that's a big part. How much can your social media presence impact your website?
Do you mean, like, through organic social media, like, hosting?
Yeah, I guess so. Do you tend to see that people have better social media presence tend to have, more people go to the websites, or are they kind of totally differentiated, or does it matter?
Yeah, they do. Although it's one of those things where I wonder if it's causation or the opposite, where. Because a lot of the people who are really engaged in social media are big personalities, and we have a couple clients who probably could have made a career in stand-up comedy if they wanted to.
Sure.
You put them in front of the camera, and we barely have to do any marketing. We just share it with the general public writ large, not even tune it, and it just works. We had another client in Illinois. You guys can look this up. Pelos, I think it's Pelos Heights Pediatric. Dr. Richard Faka, and he made this video with his like 5-year-old daughter. He's a pediatricianist, right on perfect brand, on brand, giving a tour of the office. Like, this is my daddy's office, and like she takes you through. And by the end of the video, like every time I watch, and it really is off, because every time I watch that video, like, I almost have a tear. She's so damn adorable. And it's like, boy, this is really like the family's dream, and like this all got put into this. Especially that client, I really enjoyed watching him grow from like a 2 day a week to full time. But that video, we just dropped it on Facebook and ran ads against it, and he got like 13 families the first week, and because he made great content. I'd love to take full credit for that, but you know, we didn't screw it up. But he created something magical. And so if you're willing to share personal information on Facebook, and some people like to have a hard line and they don't want to share anything personal, and you know, that's right. Just who they are, and that's okay. But social media is going to be more difficult for you, because nobody wants to socially connect with your marketing company, and we can create volume, but it's hard to connect. They want to connect with you, the dentist. They want a piece of you.
Right.
And if you don't want to give it to them, it's hard to fake. But if you're willing to give it to them, and you put yourself out there and you do funny things, and you know, whatever, you know, months
like
of,
you said,
of the year being celebrated unique, by whatever group you embrace thing. It. Yeah. You, if you give yourself to your patients, they will reward you, but you kind of have to go all in and enjoy it and want to do it. If you hate it, you're going to put it off, and it won't be a labor of love.
I think one of the things that we need to talk about is also, so the way that the website has always been, I think, like, the dentist they were so shy away from cameras and pictures and scenes. So now people are not used to seeing their dentist on their website. So as soon as they see your face, I'm like, oh wow, he's nice, you know, like, I don't mind getting numb with this guy, you know, he's
yeah.
Like, I don't mind. So I think that's part of it, to where they feel more connected.
I think Mercedes did a study, like, it's a pretty famous study, I think, where, like, back in like the 60s or 70s, where they said each client that bought a Mercedes ended up having like so many touches before they were willing to like pull the trigger. And it ended up being like they needed 6 or 7 like touches. Do you know what I'm talking about, Jeff? You heard this?
Yeah. Thing? Yeah. They like, have you ever been in, like, I felt like they're a little strong. Like the guy, I test drove a Mercedes last year, and the guy was like, literally said, what can I do to get you into this car today? And I'm like, are you kidding me?
That's
like
that old school sales pitch there.
Yeah. And it was a pre-owned Mercedes, but still, like, come on. Like, that felt like so cheesy.
But they did this
one guy. Sorry.
But they did this study that basically showed that, like, they would essentially, their clients that ended up buying the Mercedes, it was online, it was website, it was coming in, maybe it took them 2 times to come in. And so before they actually pulled the trigger on something, it took them about 7 different, you know, touches, whether that was an online thing, a paper thing, a friend thing, whatever it was that connected them to finally pulling the trigger. And what's interesting, and I think that to your point about content, video, your point about being story, personal, is that what our website can now do is really get people to where they know us before they even meet us.
And
do that, all of a sudden, I think what we can see is people come in a lot more ready to buy than they used to, where they were like, let me come in and meet the guy and learn about him.
It's so true.
But we found that, like, gosh, a lot of times people come in, they already trust us.
Yes.
Just based off of either, like you said, the reviews, testimonials, the video, the content, whatever. And so that to me has been interesting, I guess.
I absolutely agree with that. And we've had anecdotal stories out the wazoo to back that up. And I've watched myself go through that process, not with a dentist, but with other services. And I said this to a client earlier today, if buying dentistry is a very emotional purchasing decision, because it's not
much.
Like you're buying like bricks, like I got to buy some bricks. Well, how much do they cost? And that's about it. But dentistry, like you're literally going to be buying a service where the person's going to be sticking their hands in your mouth. Like there's not a lot of services where you're letting someone in your body, you know, legally. And that's a very emotional decision, man.
No, like, it's a very personal thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, and that's why I think video goes a long way. And like, you know, because there's a lot of people most people did not grow up going to their dad for 35 years. And, you know, the only time I was afraid is if my grades were bad. But like a lot of people have dental phobias and they may have had a really bad experience. And anything you can do to begin to create that emotional connection, that will really set you further down the path of, okay, I feel comfortable enough to buy. And videos start the pace of this person is someone I can relate to and trust. And the reviews reinforce that with like social trust. Before and after cases prove that you can do it. There's a bunch of mental checkboxes that need to be checked off with that sort of content.
So staying kind of on this video track, how many, because obviously you know that I was pretty big on like wanting to make sure
yeah. we had
video content and whatnot. How many of your clients have video content versus don't have right now?
I don't know the numbers, but I would say that no more than like 40% have any video.
Yeah.
I would say it's no more than 40%, I don't think that's enough. I harp on that constantly. I wish it was 100.
And then industry-wide, would you say that's a pretty similar number?
No, it's probably lower than that. It's probably like 10 to 20.
So, and I kind of assumed that to some degree. I was kind of like pulling out what I wanted to get so I could probably potentially say this, but essentially it was, to me, new dentist, trying to figure out our audience for the most part, right? Such a awesome, unique opportunity to separate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to compete with the dentist on the street that's been there for 30 years. Tell your story.
Mm-hmm.
Like get on there and tell your story, because every new patient that's coming in doesn't know that about the they've been in the area for so long. I mean, we're kind of a unique place. Nashville's obviously, we have a ton of people moving here all the time. So we have a lot of new patients who don't necessarily know a lot of people in the community, and their big way of finding their doctor or their dentist or whatever is Google. And so if they can find you and by hear your story, they don't necessarily care that you haven't been there for 20 years. You know, to them, it's more of the connection that you have. So to me, it's a huge thing. So payment. So I'm going to put you on the spot. If I go on your website right now, am I going to hear is there a video of you telling your practice's story and what you do?
That's the only thing I don't have.
And like,
just copy what Sully did. He did it masterfully.
Well, and for somebody that's so like, you have such a good story, right? And like you speak like what you.
The only thing, like you said, it's so powerful to have that video to connect to people. But when you said something earlier, that was so powerful, and that is so true, because I had so many patients that come in already sold myself. Like they know me.
Yeah.
They know so much about me.
Yeah.
But not through that video, like you said, like that, because that's perfect.
I think that's part of it because you have good social media.
Well, content. I have social media. So like a lot of them do also see it from the social media aspect. Like when you brought that question up, because they put the name in, and I think some of the words have to do with it. Like when they put like the first and last name, it pulls up your Facebook account, your Instagram account, and they can see other stuff. But one of the biggest sales for me when I opened my office was, before I opened my office, I hired a videographer, a freelance videographer, to do videos of my patients before and after. So when I opened my office, I gave about 10-12 videos to my marketing website people, and they're like, wow, you have videos? And they were like blown away. And guess what? When I opened my office, every patient would come in because of all these videos. And when I hired this guy, all my friends were laughing at me like, dude, you don't even have an office. Why are you paying somebody to do videos for you? Like, I was thinking like, hey, I think videos will be one step ahead. However, I don't have one, like you said, to be in there talking about the office, because that's another level. Like you're talking so it's so connected where you're like, hey, this is what I do. I opened the office. Here's my vision statement.
I would just argue that I think testimonials are super powerful. Obviously, I think that's the point. But I think what's super, even more powerful is that it's amazing how people will care less about your clinical expertise.
Yeah.
They can trust you and know
as a person.
Like that's what's crazy,
They can't evaluate it. Think about you guys. You guys were expressing your concerns earlier about how do you tell if the website company's crap or
not. Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, I have no idea. So, for a dentist, like, what am I going to do? I'm going to call my dad, ask him, because he's a dentist. But if for everybody else, like, well, they seem nice and trustworthy, and I've seen some examples that don't look bad that I would be happy for in my mouth. And I guess that's what I'll go on. The neighbors like them. Like, that's – and so, they have no idea which dental schools are any good. that if you went to the Penke Institute, that's good or bad. Or they, you know, they don't have strong opinions about LVI or any other training, or they have no idea. If you bring out a triple tray, they won't have no idea that that means, you know, that's questionable occlusion. This is going on. And I'm at the very limits of my dental knowledge right now. They are going completely off like a gut decision, off trust and appearances.
It's crazy. One thing I want to jump into, because I think this applies to you, Payman, for sure. And I think we're seeing it more and more. Jeff, we're seeing more and more niche practices. You know, he runs basically just a badass implant practice where essentially all you do, Payman, is implants, right?
For the most part. Yeah, a little bit of
this. You're doing a little more of that. But my point is, are you seeing dentistry...
Was doing a niche practice.
Are you seeing more and more dentistry transition not only from... Well, let me back up. I think the solo practice of the 90s and 2000s is going to be hard to do. The solo practitioner who did bread and butter dentistry, family dentistry, made a living off Delta Dental and Blue Cross and whatever it is, it's going to be hard to be competitive against the continued push for group practices and corporate dentistry.
Yep.
So my thing is what we're seeing is more and more either large group practices, more niche practices. And so my question is, from a marketing standpoint, are you seeing more and more niche marketing, or are you seeing more and more niche Googling, so to speak? Like, do you see more people Google dental implants Nashville or dentist Nashville? Is kind of what I'm getting into.
Well, dentist Nashville is always going to be a more popular term just because there's more volume for it.
Sure.
You can pull that data from Google, at least for their ads. So it would probably tell you how much money it's been increasing over time.
Because I bet dental implants like Nashville, like now versus like 5 years ago, is totally different.
Oh my gosh. Are you talking about
Let's look it up. Dental trends there. So Google Trends is
live numbers in here.
Because Nashville is actually a lot better.
We're gonna look up dentist Nashville.
Interesting.
For example, for the keyboards.
This is good.
And let's compare that to dental implants Nashville.
So I would encourage your listeners too to do this in your city,
5 year period,
whatever, to see, because to me, you know, if you can start, it's probably, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, but I would imagine if you're trying to identify more unique in things, sometimes it's better to find things that aren't as, is it better to find things not as uniquely Googled, like to be more descriptive or more niche, I guess?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's absolutely a sweet spot of, when we're doing SEO and even pay-per-click, like you want to get in that sweet spot of like, well, you know, the client tells us they want Invisalign implants and root canals. Root canals is like totally overexpensive because people are throwing money at that like idiots. Invisalign's okay, but wow, implants, for some reason, like the bidding is cheap, or the competition just, they've phoned it in.
There's so you will look at different markets and analyze which, okay, you're way more money should be spent here just because the dollar in Nashville is for root canals is stupid expensive.
Well, yeah, and it's a conversation with the client because they might say, no, you don't understand. Like, we do all those cases, their insurance and the reimbursements are terrible, so I don't care if it's easy. Like, that's not what I want more of. So it's a combination back and forth of like, in what order do you want us to give you patients? And that's where we're going to spend our time.
What's more important to you? For example, this is a good thing you brought up because a lot of doctors don't do braces or don't do implants. However, because they know there are more traffic to their website if they do put their implants in there. So they just fake marketing.
Wait, really?
Oh, gosh. He knows. Isn't that correct?
We don't have any clients to do that, to my knowledge.
I have so many patients
come
in. They say that they do things that are like that went to the website because they said they do implants, but then the guy wanted me to send me to three different people to just get the
maybe they were hard or something
picture or X-ray, and I'm like, and then I ask my people, and they're like, yeah, there's so many people that putting random things on their website just for the sake of the click, so they can get people into their website or their office, and I didn't know this till I was like, wow. That's another type
of doggy dog. Jim, what'd you find?
So I'll give you the data. So the Google gives you a relative scale, but it's the ratio is 51 to 3 for the average of dentists, Nashville versus implant. So, you know, there's about, what is that, 18 or so now, 17 times the, my math is terrible an engineer, times the traffic. And it really hasn't, there was like a spike back in, what year is this? There was a huge spike in like June 2015 for some reason. So a lot of people got.
That's when Sully got out of school.
That's right. That's when I graduated.
a lot of
spike in Nashville.
Like, hey, new kid on the block. Let's Google
spike.
This.
But and then there's another one like a couple of months later, like September, when they had to be repaired maybe. But, but other than that, it's been consistent about 51 to 3. I sent you guys a link. You can always compare trends.google.com.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. So then from your perspective, obviously your dollar is going to go further with Dental Implants Nashville versus Dentist Nashville, right? But that's getting a lot more clicks. So how does that work? Because I don't understand. So I'm, dumb in this.
Well, the name of the game at the end of the day is, we want to get as many new patients for the practice as possible. And the means to that is, just imagine this like sales funnel is calls. And in order to get calls, we need traffic. And there's some bearing on, what's the value of the patient coming in. So what, like one Invisalign case might be worth 5, just generic checkups or whatever the practice tells us it is. But what you're looking for is, is small wins in lots of different ways. And if you can optimize individual services, we want everything to win, but we don't want everything to win in the right at the same time. We want the things that are going to make the biggest impact for the practice to win first.
Mm-hmm.
So the services that the practice tells us are more important, those are the ones we're going to lean on them to say, hey, you need a video testimonial for someone who got a root canal. Get them on camera and say, oh, it wasn't that bad. It was absorbed before I knew it. I barely felt it. It was not nearly as bad as people make it out to be. And Dr. Sully was so gentle. We need at least one person like that, preferably two or three. We need you on video to explain that the technology's come a long way since your parents had a root canal, and we have this new, lasers now or whatever. That it's much less painful. We have much better technology. We can really numb, and it's much less stressful and a lot quicker too. And so to reinforce it from the professional perspective. You can't really do before and after cases with a root canal, but if it was for an aesthetic case, you could. And then you got to check, and then you have to have some good content that answers questions they might think. And usually that means like 500 words on a page, which seems daunting. And you might say nobody reads it. And most of the time you're right, but Google will latch on to certain phrases that people will search for: painless root canal, same day crowns, things like that. You have to have certain phrases that people are beginning to search for. And you need that amount of copy to make Google happy. But if you have those things lined up on what we call a SERP, a search result page, you'll be okay.
This has been fantastic.
I mean, it truly is, especially now this day and age. I think a lot of dentists are now realizing how behind are they in their online presence world, like especially the ones that have been out for a while, like for some of the people that have been out of school since the 90s and the early 2000s, they're like, wow, the social media game, the websites. And I think at the end of the day, one of the most powerful things is that people like to feel like they're more connected to dentists. Now, connection could come through the website, the way that they make it and build it. Now, do you recommend people spending a lot of money on building a scratch website from nothing and doing all the codes and HTML and things like that? Or do you think that templates will work fine as long as the doctors have so much content to give?
I mean, you don't have to build a website from scratch. And there's a bunch of content management systems. So we publish one that all of our content, great dental websites use. WordPress is really popular, and there's lots of templates for that. And there's a couple other CMS systems. So if you're building the HTML from the ground up, that's kind of crazy. that's, I mean, there are templates or companies that have already done this work that you can really get, time and cost efficiency out of the way going that route. You don't have to have custom code. Every single web publishing system at the end of the day renders in HTML. It all renders in HTML. Anything else is a lie. And there's other technologies built on top of that, but it all has HTML. So it doesn't really matter how you get there. It's just a question of cost. We have a philosophy of having everybody on the same platform because we want to roll out updates to everyone at the same time. And it's more efficient that way, but that's getting into sales, and I'd rather not do that on a podcast. But I do think that, especially for your audience, for millennials, one of the best advantages that they have over their competitors is they're very familiar with technology and they're willing to do it, and it's very natural to them. And that's a struggle for a lot of our older clients who are looking at this like, I don't have time for this. I'm not good with the computer. And we'll hear comments like that. They don't want to be on video, but millennials, a lot easier of a sales pitch. Just give them a shot at tequila and they're off to the races and we're getting some good video content.
That's right.
And they're already, they're also more willing to open themselves up a little bit and share their lives on Instagram. You don't want to, brag too much about your economical success if you're fortunate enough to have it. But, if you have interesting stuff to share or something funny, like those are little things that humanize you and connect with people, and you're not someone causing pain. You're someone that they can relate to. And I would highly encourage millennial dentists to use that advantage. Use your familiarity with being able to easily update your website and get a system in place that lets you do it. Record some video and do some stuff on social if you're outgoing enough, and you probably are. It'll really help you identify with patients, especially if you're in a new area that's like being built. I live in a newly built community out here in Denver called Stapleton. And I've watched a couple of dentists in Stapleton, some of which are clients, just really do this really well, where they become embedded in the community and they participate in everything, and they're part of the community.
Are those marijuana trees behind you?
No, you have to, in Denver, the law, I think you have to have them like a secured area. Okay. This is, I
just checked.
I am really into plants though, so there's a bunch
you of I was looking around, I'm like, man, this guy is so high right now.
No, Jeff,
I'm
kidding. This has been fantastic. Great episode.
Love it.
Good content. This is kind of the part of the episode, like, look, you've been good about, not really saying, hey, come sell us, but I do want to give you a moment. We've been a very happy client. You've done great stuff for us. Tell people why, what great dental websites can do for them. And kind of what separates you would say from your competition?
I think the main differentiating factor is, yeah. So if I'll go right into sales pitch, we built a platform to make the best possible dental website that could ever exist. And this is, a train on its way to nirvana that will never truly get there because everything's always changing. But every time Google issues an edict, and you kind of have to treat it like that, and says, no, you got to make up, you have to have a mobile website. And then, a year later, just kidding, it has to be a mobile responsive website. Throw out that mobile website. We don't like it anymore. And then, we now need you to embed the schema.org data so our, crawlers can immediately determine what type of business you are for local search, because now local search has become that. So we need you to comply with this. And there's lots of things like this, and they're small, but they come out every week. And over time, like, the quality of the website just starts to tick down because it's been out of date. It has flash, for God's sake. Or these little changes haven't been minted, and you just accumulate this, what we would call technical debt, of like, we'll do that later because you don't want to pay the $50. And so to have your web developer fix it at that moment. So we wanted to make a system where everybody was on the same code base. It basically comes down to my laziness of not wanting to make 5 websites for my family. I just want to make one. If we make one system that all has custom content and different designs, and they don't look like the same website, but to Google, it's all doing the right things. Mm-hmm. It's always going to do the right thing. And when they change the rules or we make a mistake, we can go back in time and fix it for every client, past, present, and future. And I'm not really aware of any other client or companies that have that approach. They're all making kind of bespoke websites with WordPress or something, which can do the job. But when these changes happen, somebody has to make the changes and somebody has to pay for it. or you skip it.
Question.
Go.
Now, a new dentist getting out of school or opening up a practice or taking over a new practice, how much money should they spend on their new website, or should they talk about the money?
Or what does it cost to be a client of yours? What am I paying?
We have DIY clients that pay us like $79 a month, and like they started their website for like, you know, $1,000 or $1,200. I can't remember what our lowest price point is. And they do everything themselves. And that was my original dream. I was hoping that dentists would just do all this themselves and I could create a software company. And that was a lie. That didn't happen. Turned out dentists were busy and were worth more per hour than our staff and me. And so we created an agency on top of that to do as much of the heavy lifting as we could. But I think for a dentist out of school, especially if you're not practicing yet, you really just have to start working on your content.
You don't really need a website. You said a good point. I'm sorry I interrupted, but I do want to say this, that don't you think a lot of these dental students that are gonna, I mean, I'm looking back at like a lot of my followers, man, they're so much ahead of the game with all the education they've had. There's so much stuff that they've done. And I'm like, why not create a website for themselves already while they're in school, or maybe when they're out of school in their associate years, and whenever they get their own practice, merge things over. So you recommend that? Like, you recommend them having content?
We've approached a couple dental schools like that over the years. The problem is like trying to sell something to somebody who's already like $250,000.
Yeah, it doesn't go.
That is a really, and it's like this will have no immediate financial benefit for you for years. And it's like, that's a really hard.
It's like retirement planning.
Yeah, it's hard. Exactly. And so they have bigger fish to fry at this point. It's not like, especially if they were just kind of like sandboxing it, and they're like, we just need some software to start loading this content in later. Like, that's not cheap. That is cheap for us to store. It's not expensive. I'd be game for this if there's a dental school listening that wants to work out some kind of deal, because I'd love for students to get in the habit, both with using our systems as a green capitalist, and just for their own benefit. Like, they need to start outlining, well, what's their practice philosophy? Because we have really holistic dentists that are like, get those mercury amalgams out of there. It's going to cause cancer from the vapor or something. I don't know. I haven't read the science. I'm not a doctor. that think those guys are absolutely nuts. So I'll just, you know, throw that debate out there.
You give the people what they want.
Yeah. So it's, you know, we didn't go to dental school. We're not the right authority to decide these things. And so we have a wide variety of, you know, people people use Zoom teeth whitening. There's core teeth whitening. People are throwing like baking soda at people's faces, rubbing that.
There's a bunch of like black chalky stuff.
Charcoal.
Yeah, charcoal. I think oil pooling is a thing. I'm not sure what it does, but it's out there.
I'm sure it works great.
I'm sure we have a couple clients who might recommend it under some circumstances. Maybe. I don't know.
That's awesome.
But, you know, you have to think about your unique value proposition. And are you going to go all for aesthetics, or are you just dealing with salt of the earth people who just got out of the coal mines and they're like, I don't give a crap about this. You know, I don't care about my hair at this point. You know, I'm sure there's people who just want functional teeth. I want functional hair. You know, I don't have this beautiful bouffant that Peyton has here.
No, that thing is nice.
I had a patient who just had hair replacements in Turkey for about 1/10 of the price that we would pay here. And he was just keep telling me that I should go in Turkey or some other countries to get it cheaper, because they do the same thing. It's like hair follicles. And I'm very tempted now to actually go and grow more hair, because I'm losing some in the middle. Of all genetically, we have like right here in the middle where I know I'm going to lose it. So it was fascinating to listen to this guy and talking about, because we always say that some patients go to overseas, get dentistry done and for cheaper. And unfortunately, when they come back, there are some cases that need work done, repairing, remaking, and things like that. But when it comes to hair, I feel like there's no, I mean, gosh, the worst thing I can have is just like cut it, you know?
I feel like that, I don't know. As someone who's lost it all. It has nothing to lose at this point. I guess you can still get like an infection, I would imagine. And then it's like close to your brain.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
I'm already happily married. So at this point, like, what do I need? I'm not on TV. Like, what do I need the hair for?
You think so?
Well, that's, we're married, so like we could chalk it up.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. So
hey.
She's accepted it.
Jeff, thank you so much for joining the podcast. Great stuff. Pam, great to
if you have, we're going to put your contact information because there are going to be a ton of people, and I know already and that so many people are wanting to learn more about
websites. What's your average cost for – what's your average client cost? Was it monthly, yearly, something?
So, I mean, it depends. Like, if you're just using our software platform to, you know, maintain your website and you have easy access and it grows over time and hosts the site and does all the backups and we have support and all that jazz, it's just $79 a month.
That's not what
marketing spend. Well, yeah, but you're getting a little bit more. In my defense, so marketing packages really depends on the area. So SEO starts around like $300 or $400, and then goes up into the thousands if you're in really competitive markets. Pay per click. I think we just had a quote for somebody with a couple different practices in an urban market today that was over $10,000. That can go to the moon depending on, you know, what volume of new patients you need and the ability of that urban area to serve it. If you're in New York City, like, yeah, you can easily spend $100,000 if you have enough dentists that could accommodate patients and you have a big enough market like New York. You could easily spend $100,000 on AdWords if you wanted to. I wouldn't recommend that out of the gate. But if you want it, like, custom websites are usually between like 3 and 6 depending on how crazy we're getting with design and how much copy we need to write. If there's just one dentist versus a multi-location practice, which I wish we had more time to talk about, because in Australia we see insurance-owned practices, like, wow. They're like literally owned by the insurance company. I always show those slides to scare people at conferences.
That's crazy.
But imagine like working directly through Delta Dental at Delta Dental, the clinic.
Wow. Yeah. I guess you wouldn't have an issue getting patients.
Yeah. You know, there's always pros and cons, but it certainly feels like a conflict of interest.
We never talked about the hacking and people that want to hack your websites.
Oh, back it up to hell, man. Like, every engineer at some point in their life has a terrible experience where they blow away some data. And that happened to me, fortunately, a long time ago. And we back up our data like 4 different times a day to like 3 different physical places just to be sure. Like, you really need 2. Why not 4? As long as you back up your website regularly, it really doesn't matter if you're hacked. There's not, unless you have like HIPAA data in there, that's a different story. Then you don't, like, just make sure you have really good backups. Somebody hacks you, just blow it away and restore it. You should try to test that once in a while, though. Make sure you can actually restore your backups. You know.
So that's what
I'm assuming, Jeff. We test that, Jeff. Right on ours.
Yeah, we have good systems, man.
Good. You know, make sure.
The other thing is, and I'm going to tempt fate here, but we're also a very low hanging target. Like, we have a custom made content management system. So for some hacking outfit, like, if you want to. We're low-hanging fruit. You're going to go after WordPress, where that photo gallery has 5 million people that use it, and boy, you crack that thing, you're in. You know, you crack Great Dental websites, you're into, you know, 750 dentist websites without financial data stored, and the patient data stored in a different database through encryption. It's like, well, what did you win? Well, you won that we're going to figure out where the hole is, we're going to block everything if you have to, and we're just going to run the backup. That's it.
It'll
be down for a day. Yeah,
there's nothing on there that makes it.
Yeah. So if you have WordPress, it's still a fairly secure system if you keep up with the updates. But my God,
I guess what I meant by hacking was the maintenance. So like a lot of people build websites and they think
literal hacking.
Like making sure that this is maintained. Now, how many of these offices that you work with and do the websites that do the maintenance, and what does it take for you to maintain their website?
That's all included. So in that $79 month charge, like we're constantly updating the software platform. So when Google says you got to have a mobile website, we just push it out. When they say you got to embed schema.org data, we push it out. When they say everybody's got Google Glass now and it's walking around like Jordy LaForge, we're going to update the website to work on that device. So, but with content, we want our clients to be involved. We want them to create the content and add it.
100%.
We really view it as a partnership, and I think that's the right way, because we can try to put words in your mouth and we can do a fairly good job, but you got to give at least the bullet points of why you're different, or it's just going to start to sound like everybody else. And then same thing with like in the video content too. We can do some of that stuff for you, and you know, as needed to create content, and we charge per, but it's easier for the clients to just do it. And we've tried to make a system that's easy enough for them to do. It's just as easy as them to write the email to us, say, you know, here's a photo, here's the content I want to add. Can you add it here? Then you have to go back and forth, be like, move the photo a little to the left. We've tried to make it as easy as possible for our clients to do that themselves for free.
I think at the end of the day, honestly, I get a lot of DMs, a lot of messages from patients, or not patients, but a lot of dentists, younger dentists, they're asking like, how do you get these patients? How do you do this? And how? And I'm like, at the end of the day, is really comes down to what you put out every day. Like,
oh yeah.
Like I'm giving more content to my marketing people that they can handle. And they're like, we don't know where to put these. And one thing they always tell me is that, like, I refer a lot of people to my folks. So like, I'm like, hey, use him, do this and that. And they're like, they don't give us anything. And they complain, like my marketing guys or my website people. And I'm like, one thing I want to really shout out here right now at the podcast is saying that really, you guys, if you want patients, if you want to do these big cases, if you want to do great dentistry, get paid and do a lot of cool stuff, you really have to get out of your shell and show your personality to people. If you are social, get out there and show them. If you are not social, you got to do something more than just asking your marketing people to make your website. Because no matter what you do or how much you pay to make it custom built, no matter what, they need to have a sense of you and feel like, hey, this is my guy. I want to go to him. I don't mind how much it's going to be. They already know the price. Like I said, some of these stuff, I don't even try. I come into the room, the patient's already sold because of all the things I put out there. From marketing, from websites, from newspaper, from print, all these eggs are cooking to where when they come in, I'm only saying, hey, this is how much, and they're moving forward. So that's one thing I say from our end to help you guys out is really at the end of the day, we have to give you content and we have to be more reliable on answering questions and being more personable as dentists.
I love it.
It's true. And you rattled off a list of things that you're doing. And that's going to sound very daunting to a new dentist who's like, oh, God, I got to get video and print and do website. And like, it's going to feel overwhelming.
Yeah.
But Rome wasn't built in a day. And we've given out like little checklists to clients and just told them, like, just start doing like one thing a day or one thing a week. And if you're listening at home and you want to test if you really have the capability to do this, because It becoming successful at anything, it does take a lot of work. And you tell yourself originally, no, it's because I'm so brilliant, I'm gonna have this great idea. Man, that's like 10% of it or less. The work and the execution is almost all of it.
100%.
If I ever wrote a book about like entrepreneurship, it would be like get rich eventually. And in the meantime,
luck. It's all execution and working ethic and so much more.
Those are the Crazy Rich Asians. Those guys just...
And all those stories you read about people who have these amazing instant success stories and they open and they got like 100 new patients a month on week. The reason you're hearing about that is because it's so goddamn extraordinary. That is not normal. And most of the time people are successful because they work late. They put their time and their heart and soul into it. And if you want to test if you can do this, just say, I'm going to do this tomorrow. You know, or if you're listening to this in the morning, today. You got to do it today. Don't say, I'll do it tomorrow or the next day or next week. If you put it off, you'll never goddamn do it. Do it right now, like, or right after the next patient. The next opportunity you have to do it, prove to yourself you can do it. You just make one video about one service and then send it to your web people. And hopefully you'll get some encouragement, some feedback, and a patient will come in, and that'll be enough to convince you to keep going. Because that's usually the way it starts. You just need to break that dam, that little stream coming through, and then it'll all flow.
This is good advice.
Well, thank you so much for being so open, giving us so many hints and messages and tips and tricks and things for people to try. It has been amazing podcast because this is good.
Jeff, how can people reach out to you?
You can reach me at greatdentalwebsites.com or Jeff at greatdentalwebsites.com. That'll come to me. Or just call the office. It's on greatdentalwebsites.com. Our number's up there. Maybe a tracking number. I'm not sure. But
right.
Yeah.
Google.
Yeah, I'm happy to talk to clients if they want to. Usually I forward them to our talented staff who I've really tried to hire people better than me.
That's an infection.
Yeah, but I always try. We're still not that big where I can't talk to clients if they really want to talk to me. And sometimes people just want to be reassured that no, this is true. This is how we do things. And I'm happy to provide that that encouragement or reinforcement. I still get calls from clients sometimes in the evening. I grew up watching my dad take calls, and I was yelled at if I answered a phone like an idiot at my house. Oh no, that could be a patient. Don't ever answer a phone like that.
Classic.
So that's always seemed normal to me to get the occasional call at 7, 8 o'clock. Thankfully, there's not a ton of dental website emergencies.
That's true.
Which is something that you guys have taken on.
Although I expect a text to Alex saying, hey, we got to get Sully some domain names for his commercials tomorrow. That's priority number one.
Is it Alex Nuttall is your AM? Yeah. Okay. I'll tell him.
Let's make sure that happens. Other than that, I'm fine. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining the Millennium Dose podcast.
You.
We are pumped for a fun spring. It's going to be a good time as always. Work smarter, not harder. We'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.